Len, it's an exciting week on the PGA Tour, the Jack Nicklaus Memorial Tournament at Muirfield Village there in the Columbus, Ohio area. And I know it's early, it's only the first round, and a lot can change, but I got to believe if you're Tim Clark of Chicago-based Wilson Golf, you're celebrating right now. You've got Gary Woodland, the defending U.S. Open champion, Wilson staff player, has the lead and one shot back already in the clubhouse is Wilson staff player Brendan Steele. So for Wilson Golf, it's a great start to the Memorial Tournament.
Yeah, you know, the Memorial is an interesting event. It's certainly the biggest tournament, the most prestigious tournament that's been held since play resumed on June 11th. But the Memorial when schedule was the way it usually is, that was the best warm up for the U.S. Open. Of course, now with the U.S. Open pushed back to September, it's not the same thing. The Memorial carries a lot of weight with the players, I think mainly because of the Nicklaus connection. But it's played on a great course. It is an invitational, only 120 players, and the winner there is going to take a lot of momentum into the rest of the season.
Believe it or not, we'll finally have some golf to cover here in the Chicago area next week. The Women's Western Golf Association has its National Amateur Championship down in the south suburbs of Frankfort at the Prestwick Country Club, and it should be a great tournament. I had a chance to play the golf course yesterday with one of the board members, and I think it's an outstanding golf course. And it only plays all the way back about 7,048 yards. But we have learned that the yardage for the WWGA amateur will be in the 6,200-yard range. But it looks like a great golf course. I think the gals should enjoy it. Most of the holes have some trees to the left and trees to the right. There's a fair amount of bunkers without going too crazy. The greens are very large, so players can hit the greens and very easily find themselves with 60, 70, 80, 90-foot putts if they don't get the approach shots in close to the stick. It is a Larry Packard design, and it looks like a fun one, and it's well-maintained, and it looks like a great selection by the Women's Western Golf Association in conjunction with the WGA, the Western Golf Association.
Well, an interesting tidbit about Prestwick. They have never hosted this tournament before, but they did host the Women's Western Junior, and back in the 1974, guess who won? Nancy Lopez. As a 15-year-old, that was a big impetus thing for Nancy, because at 15, then she went on to win the Western Amateur three straight times after that, and before turning pro. So Prestwick was the site of what perhaps was Nancy Lopez's first big victory. I don't know what she won before that, but that's something to certainly hang its hat on. I'm sure it's going to be a good tournament. I'm just glad that a big national amateur tournament is being played. I mean, all these junior tournaments were kind of called off and earlier on, including the Western Junior. But this is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's got a great field. These are the best women players in the country in the field here. I think three players from the University of Illinois, five from Northwestern in the field. It's going to be great golf. It's too bad more people can watch it. They're only allowing each player to have one spectator with them. So it's not like there's going to be crowds there, and it won't be a televised event. But for pure golf, this is as good as it's going to be getting for a while.
Well, and they've done some recent renovation work inside the clubhouse. It's not totally complete yet, but it just looks outstanding in what they've done. And some of the rooms and stuff have been redone, and it would have been a great dinner on Sunday night to welcome the players. Charlie Reimer was supposed to come in and speak to everyone. However, dinner has been canceled, and unfortunately, Charlie Reimer also has come down with COVID-19. So even if the dinner was still being held, I think they would have needed a substitute speaker. And the club is well aware of Nancy Lopez's history there In 2 years will be the 50th anniversary when the club hosts the Women's Western Junior Championship. And as of now, the hope is to get Nancy to come in on the 50th anniversary and talk to the gals that will be playing there in 2022. Speaking of events, with limited people on the golf course, the PGA Tour for the rest of the year has announced no fans. However, they are saying that that is through the Tour Championship, which wraps up in early September, Labor Day weekend, right after the BMW Championship. But there's no word about fans yet or spectators for any of the fall events that are part of the 2020-2021 calendar. So it'll be interesting to see as they go deeper into the fall if fans actually do return to PGA Tour events that are still on the calendar this year.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation. My guess, and I was kind of hinted at by Jay Monahan in a talk in Columbus earlier this week, that what could be the first tournament with fans won't be a PGA Tour event. It'll be the U.S. Open in September. Of course, that's a U.S. Golf Association event. And I know that it's in New York, and the USGA people have been working with governments, you know, people in New York, and seeing if they can't work that thing out. But that would be my guess as to the next event, because, you know, the PGA Tour might go right on through this whole year of 2020 without spectators otherwise. I mean, the spectators got to come back sooner or later. They just have to. And U.S. Open probably would be a good place. The Masters after that. Maybe, but I think the U.S. Open is a better shot for us to see spectators again. I certainly hope that's what happens.
Len, what surprised me is, of course, now that the cancellation is official up at Whistling Straits on the Ryder Cup for this year, being pushed back to September of 2021, and I'm glad there'll be fans there. I'd love to see Steve Stricker, Team USA captain, get his due from the Wisconsin fans that'll be in attendance, and of course, USA fans probably everywhere. But I thought by now what we would see is Kohler announcing that all of these tee times for their golf courses in September that have been shut down because of the Ryder Cup, that have been shut down because I'm sure that the Black Wolf Run courses over by the American Club, those courses were probably going to be open Ryder Cup week, but probably for specialized groups, private corporate groups that had hospitality on site over at Whistling Straits. And I'm sure that some of those outings are canceled. The Irish course, Whistling Straits course, are now wide open with no Ryder Cup there in September. There should be 3 to 4 weeks of tee times now available. And you would think that they would really be trying to get the word out on that, that there's availability in the fall. Come play the Ryder course week, the week of what was supposed to be the Ryder Cup. The course was played by some people I talked to recently about a week and a half ago. They said it's incredible condition and that they have been doing everything they can to have that course mint for what was supposed to be this year's Ryder Cup. As a result, we've heard nothing. So I'm hoping that Kohler will announce, hey, golfers, you want to come up and play the Ryder Cup course this year? And our other courses, they're now available in September.
Well, you know, I think that you're absolutely right. They ought to be getting players back there. I thought what was interesting when the John Deere Classic was canceled, the John Deere Classic week, the course there, they put on a good junior tournament over there. And I would kind of have thought that Kohler might follow the same route, take a junior event, have maybe a Wisconsin PGA event of some sort, just to kind of fill the tournament gap for when the Ryder Cup would have been there. And that would have perked up some limited interest. It wouldn't have been a big spectator thing or anything, but it would have stirred up golf enthusiasm in the state. Of course, Wisconsin's got plenty of golf enthusiasm, and there's no reason for Whistling Straits to be empty at all. I mean, that's a premier course in the country. And I've got to say, they did the right thing in postponing the Ryder Cup. I mean, a Ryder Cup without spectators, you know, it just wouldn't have been a Ryder Cup. All these tournaments would be nice to have spectators at them, but a Ryder Cup, I would say that was they would be mandatory there.
Len, last week we touched on a little bit of a renovation review. Schaumburg had told me that the plan was August 1st. They were heading for August 1st. They were expecting August 1st for the opening of the Tournament 9 to officially wrap up their five-year facility renovation project. And I have now received word that is official. Golfers will be out on August 1st on all 27 holes at the Schaumburg Golf Club. And all week long, players can now play 9-hole rounds or 18-hole rounds, whatever they want to do. And so congratulations to John Parsons, the GM and head golf professional there, his staff, the Schaumburg Park District architect, Todd Quitno. It seems like there is definite light at the end of the tunnel, and that August 1st is definitely now the official reopening of the final 9 holes that have been under renovation these past few years. And in addition, we touched on Sportsman's in Northbrook. It is renovation full speed ahead. Work's been getting done over there now for over 3 months, and we congratulate them for getting started. But there's probably more research that needs to be done here. And I will check in with architect Greg Martin, but I have been told that his project, the renovation work at Settlers Hill out in Geneva, is also getting ready to start. So maybe we can look into that and talk a little bit more about that next week.
Schaumburg is the one to think about right now. I mean, that one, my head is really off to the people there. That what they undertook was a very well-planned project over three nines, only one nine being closed at the time. And the fact, they did it right. They got it all done. And I think that's going to be just a wonderful addition to the Chicago golf scene when all 27 holes are active and people are out playing there. More power to the Schaumburg Park District. That what they did there was a great thing.
Len, I know we both have had one eye on what's been happening on the Corn Ferry Tour this year, but it's another week down in Texas, back-to-back weeks on different golf courses that are right next to each other at the same resort in San Antonio. And there's quite a large presence from Illinois this week. Of course, Nick Hardy and Vince India have been regularly playing the tour throughout the years throughout this year, but Brad Hopfinger is down there. Also, our former Illinois Open and Illinois amateur champion Patrick Flavin qualified to get in the field as well. So a lot of players with Illinois ties playing in San Antonio this week, and we will hope that they all have a good week. So if you like to follow our local players, there's plenty of them to be found this week on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, there sure is. And these players, there's not just a number of them. The ones that are out there are doing quite well. Dylan Wu, a former Northwestern star, he's been out there playing. Nick Hardy took last week off. He's back in the field this week. As I understand it, he played 4 straight weeks, took one off, and he's been playing well. Both him and Wu are in the, top 25, which if they could can stay there, they'll be PGA Tour players once the top 25 is finalized and determined. I think it'll not be really done until after the 2021 season due to all the schedule changes. But, you know, Hopfinger is having a good year. He's been showing some promise. Vince India got off to a good start there for this year. You know, we're going to have some good Chicago influence on that tour. It's healthy. It's our good young players are showing they can play nationally.
Len, last week we talked a little bit about some equipment-related things, and, you know, normally we touch on more of that with our podcasting at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando. We know that some companies will come out with new products just before Black Friday in late November, day after Thanksgiving, and the start of the holiday shopping rush. There's not always a lot of new things in the middle of summer, and what's just caught my eye by surprise this week is it sounds like Callaway's main golf ball, the Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X, have just updated their golf ball, and it appears that it's just been re-released here in the midsummer. Now, whether the pandemic has changed some of their plans, I'm not sure. Or maybe they wanted to release it during the height of golf season when it's not just the southern markets that are playing, but the northern markets as well. But Callaway's Chrome Soft golf ball has been updated and re-released right here in July.
Well, you know, it's been amazing. Golf balls especially, but the internet has just been filled with similar announcements like that. Now, Callaway is one of, it's long been one of the best golf ball manufacturers out there. I play that ball a lot, not totally, but a lot. And it's funny. There's some real good times right now for the golfer who wants to experiment. I've seen more in the way of, well, golf balls mainly, but their clubs, putters, everything. There's all kinds of stuff coming out on the market now, which normally it would have come out much earlier in the year. But it's fun to kind of toy around with your game now. This is a good time to do some experimenting and seeing what new equipment is out there, or just stuff that is just coming out on the market.
Well, when we talk golf balls, we also mentioned a couple of weeks ago a special design by Volvic golf balls in line with the 4th of July. But I see that they are continuing their promotional package with superhero golf balls. And it looks like another one with logoed superhero golf balls in the deal that they've had, I believe, with I'm not sure if it's Marvel or DC Comics, but apparently they've had Spider-Man in the past and the Hulk and Iron Man, and now they're about ready to launch another set of special commemorative golf balls with superheroes on them.
You know, way back when, not really all that far back, but back in my, probably about 10 years ago, for a long time, I was big on collecting logo golf balls. I had over 300 at one time in where I was living, and it was kind of taking over my study. And when I moved to Florida, they gradually disappeared or turned into shag bags, or found ways to put them. But now I kind of wish I still had that, was doing that, because I'm seeing all kinds of interesting golf balls here in Florida and back when we're in other places in the country. I guess you can never design the perfect golf logo, but a lot of people are trying.
Before we wrap it up this week, any other topics that are on your plate, things that you're seeing on the travel scene or in Florida? I know that there's been some announcement of a couple Champions Tour events out at Big Cedar where they're going to open the new Tiger Woods course this fall, and that ought to create some buzz in Southwest Missouri.
Well, you know, that's a couple things there to talk about. Now, that one especially, I just got word of that one today. But, you know, what's odd to me there is that they're going to play back-to-back weeks, just like they're doing here at the Memorial this week on the PGA Tour. However, they're not using the Tiger Woods course. They're using the one that opened last year, Ozarks National, and they're playing a course that I think is just a great course. I've always liked it, Buffalo Creek out there. That's been their, you know, that's losing a little luster because of the new courses that are being built, but that is just a great track. But anyway, I do want to say that I'm about to hit the road again on some travel stuff. I'm planning a trip that's going to get kind of long, I think, eventually. It's not all the itinerary isn't done, but it involves kind of lengthy stays in both Ohio in the Toledo area, then again in Michigan at Forest Dunes and Boyne Highlands, and there'll be some other stops before and after that. So I'm getting excited. I think it's time to get back into our travel mode and see what all is new out there.
All right, Len, thanks for joining me for Zeman Spears Podcast Series 2020, Volume 18, and we'll look forward to talking more about the golf scene in general. Speaking of which, the golf scene with Steve Cashel returning this Sunday night here on NBC Sports Chicago. But you and I will be back next week for the 19th hole, so to speak. We'll talk about it in the grill, and who knows, maybe over a cold one here as we do the next edition of Zeman Spears Podcast Series 2020.